from China. These issues are all around us, whether it's employees dying in coal mines, even here in the US. We all know about the tobacco situation in the world. 100 million people have died from tobacco use. 1 billion people are expected to die from tobacco use in the next 100 years. In places like Indonesia, about half of the children ages 13 to 15 are addicted to cigarettes. American corporations are profiting. Philip Morris International, Altria Group, British American Tobacco, Japan Tobacco, all publicly traded here in America, profiting from children. In India, 80% of the market share is British American Tobacco. Because it's harder now to exploit children in this country, they go to these other countries and exploit children. And most American investors, Christian investors, are profiting from this. There are so many examples. Foxconn, another example from China, by the way. The building had to put safety net around the building to catch people as they jumped off to commit suicide. This company was forcing people to work 3 days straight without any sleep or rest. People were going crazy and committing suicide. Some of the companies you would know, the iPhone was being, you know, supplies were being made. Foxconn was a supplier for many of the large American companies. We are profiting from slave labor. Large American retailers, we know many of them, they purposely keep employees on a part-time basis in order not to give them health care benefits. They will not give people a living wage. They will try to do what the minimum wage is. This is not the heart of God. When we see such injustices in the world, when we see such exploitation in the world, it should be God's people that speak up first, not the world. It used to be God's people that spoke up first. When slavery was an issue in America and in England, when slave trade was an issue, it was preachers like John Wesley and Charles Finney that were speaking up and speaking out. Sermons like The Use of Money by John Wesley. Charles Finney refused to serve communion to slave owners in his church. Yet today you have the ESG movement. It's the non-Christians that are trying to build what they consider to be a better world. Christians generally have a make all you can, give all you can mindset. I want to read a few verses from the Bible. Again, I mentioned there's a lot of verses today, but I actually think it's important because some of what I say could sound like, okay, maybe there's one verse in the Bible that mentions it and you're making a bigger deal than, you're emphasizing it more than it should be. And so I want to show you from different parts of the Bible that God cares about the plight of the worker, the plight of the employee. God hates it. It hurts God's heart when employees are being abused and exploited. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 to 15. Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he is a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns. Pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. James, New Testament, James chapter 5, verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Many of us have people that come and mow our lawns. Are we paying them fairly? Jeremiah 22:13. Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his countrymen work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. Malachi 3:5. I will come near to you for judgment, I will be quick to testify against the sorcerers, the adulterers, the perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and fatherless, who deprive aliens of justice, and do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. It's amazing, like I get it, adulterers, perjurers, sorcerers, but then the list also contains those who defraud laborers of their wages. God puts it right there next to these other big issues that we Christians often talk about, but not this one. Isaiah 58 says, "Why have we fasted and you do not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Because on the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers." God cares. I think many of us here might be in management. We may have workers working under us. Or we may see others in the companies that we work at being exploited. We as Christians need to speak up for the sake of others. One of the reasons I started my company is because of an issue I saw in a previous company I was working at. So I moved to the U.S. when I was 8, and I lived in Medford. And when I was 24, I'm working at this time for a large custody bank. They asked me whether I would go back to India and help with outsourcing. And I am working in India. Like, I had never seen the big cities of India because I grew up in a small village of India. So to go back and see Bombay and New Delhi, and it was an incredible experience. But just seeing the disparity between the rich and the poor really bothered me. And so then, you know, the company would fly me on a first class, and I'm being treated very well. But I get there, and there's a guest house that I'm staying in, and there's a cook and a housekeeper. Their names rhymed, Amal and Kamal. And they were in their early 20s, just like myself, so I befriended them. Every morning, they're like, "Sir, sir," I'm like, "Just call me Robin." They would never call me Robin, it's always "Sir." "Sir, what can we make you for breakfast?" I tell them, and they make it. And in the morning, they're ironing my clothes for me. They're doing everything to, like, serve me. And when I come back from work, and in the morning, they ask me what I want. Every day, I said the same thing. I was trying to eat healthy when I was there. It was always a roti, which is like a wheat bread with a tandoori chicken, which is like a grilled chicken, and dal, which is lentils. That's what I asked pretty much every day when I was there. But in the evenings when they were cooking, I would just stand in the kitchen, talk to them, get to know them. And I saw behind the kitchen a pantry. And I look over, it looks like a prayer mat in there. And the thought crossed my mind, like, they probably sleep here because there's no other bedroom for them. So I said to Amal and Kamal, "Do you guys sleep here?" And they said, "Yes, sir, we do." There's no pillow, no blanket, small little room, like a stone floor, and both of these guys have to curl up to sleep there. I, meanwhile, have brand new bed, air conditioner, and lots of these rooms are empty there. I told them, "Take a bedroom, please." They said, "No, sir, we're not allowed." I said, "Please take a bedroom." They said, "No, sir." So I emailed management in America and said, "You got to give these guys a bed and a place to sleep." They said, "That's not our responsibility. We outsource a guest house to a local vendor." I said to the company, "You guys are so powerful. If you just ask, this local vendor will do anything to keep your business." But they don't do it. They didn't make the change. A few days later, I'm sitting in the living room, and I saw Kamal, the cook, walking in through the front door, and one of my American coworkers walking out through the front door. And this American coworker said to Kamal, "Servants shouldn't use the front door." And Kamal walked in, stared at me, and said, "Sir, I am a human being too." And I had no response. And somebody asked me recently, like, "Did you fail, Kamal?" I said, "I did." But those words spoke to me as clearly as it spoke to Kamal. Kamal and I looked the same. The only difference is I got the opportunity to come to the U.S. and get an education. And I'm born in a Christian family, and he's in a Hindu family. So how we treat our people, our employees, matter to God. I think oftentimes Christians behave like the mafia wife. Have you guys seen the, maybe you shouldn't lift your hand because maybe it's sinful, I don't know. Have you guys seen the movie The Godfather? Yeah. I've seen part one, not two and three. Okay. But do you guys remember what the last scene is in The Godfather part one? So Don Corleone, he's dead. His son, Michael Corleone, takes over the family business, and that's Al Pacino. But when he takes over, he's ruthless. His father was actually nice to the rival gangs and whatever. He goes and on a killing spree, and he kills his own brother-in-law because his brother-in-law was involved in killing his brother earlier in the movie. And there's a scene at the end where his sister comes crying and said, "How can you kill my husband?" He just sits there without, like, motionless, without any expression. And then the wife comes to him and says, "Tell me you didn't do that." He shouts at his wife and says, and then he says, "I'll tell you one time and one time only, I didn't kill him." But he did. But then the movie's finishing up, and there's a scene where his gangsters come alongside him again, and they're plotting their next, like, big thing, their next exploitation. But the wife is in the other room, and the door closes on her, and the movie's over. She knows there's something more, there's something happening back there that shouldn't be happening. But guess what? She's enjoying the fur coats, the fine jewelry. She's enjoying all of it. So she doesn't get too close. As long as she keeps a distance, her convictions don't have to be bothering her so much. I think many times Christians behave this way. We work in companies where things are happening, but we don't speak up. Maybe your company is donating so much money to Planned Parenthood. Maybe you could just speak up. When I was starting my company, Eventide, I went to a wedding. There was a person, you know, as Indian people, we always put labels to people, okay? So this guy was called Millionaire Babu, okay? His name was Babu. Everybody called him Millionaire Babu because he supposedly had this very successful business. Turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. And my dad lost a lot of his savings. My uncle lost a lot of his savings. But right when I was starting Eventide, I saw his kind of second in charge person at a wedding, and I'm talking to him about this ethical framework that I have for investing and what I imagine. He said, "You're going to fail." He said, "Robin, you cannot bring your faith to your work. You got to be cutthroat in business to succeed." Through the financial crisis, their company actually didn't survive. Let us as Christians bring God's image to our work. Our work is our way every day, Monday through Friday, of serving God. We're not working for human masters. We are working for God. There's so much more I could say there. Let me move on. Work has become idolatrous in Exodus. Work has become exploitative, and work has become idolatrous. The people are no longer working for God. The people are working for a competitor to God, Pharaoh. Pharaoh is directly opposing the sovereignty of God. They are no longer able to work, as Paul would say, as unto the Lord. They're no longer able to represent God's heart. They're no longer able to represent their creativity. They're no longer able to express their freedom in work. They're no longer able to express their innovation, their creativity in their work. they have to do as the taskmaster tells them or they get beat. They're no longer able to work as unto the Lord, but they are working in a very idolatrous way for this person, Pharaoh, who is seeking to build a name for himself and not for God. Rather than reflecting the heart of God, their work is reflecting the will of Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. God tells us, he says, you shall not bow down or avad them. Remember, avad is work. It's also worship. It's also service, to serve. God tells the Israelites, this is actually the first commandment in the Bible. You shall not bow down or avad. Remember, avad is the same word for work. You shall not avad them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Our work has to be as unto the Lord. Exodus 23:24 says, Do not bow down before their gods or avad them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Yet we know that even after receiving freedom, the people of Israel go back to idolatry. When Moses is up on the mountain with God, the people decide to use their work to build something that's an idol, the golden calf. So again, they become idolatrous. Their work is not honoring God, yet honoring the world, honoring Satan, honoring Pharaoh. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If our work is not idolatrous, our work must be bringing glory to God. The world should see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father whom we represent. Just like the Israelites, it's easy for us to make our work idolatrous. We want to pursue wealth and power and status and legacy. We bow our knee to these things. Even things that could appear to be good, we may start a charity and we put our own name on the charity, right? Because we make ourselves the idol there. And, you know, not the for-profit world is the same thing. So many companies, it's like the founder's name. Even when Christians build wealth, question is, what do we do with that wealth? I see too often us donating to get a name on a building or something. Our wealth becomes idolatrous. We become our own idol. Let our work, our identity, honor and bring glory to the person whose image is upon us. In Genesis, we see another example of this, where work becomes idolatrous. It's Genesis 11, verse 4. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered all over the face of the earth. Remember, God told them in Genesis to scatter. Be fruitful, multiply, and scatter. They want to stay together and make a name for themselves. And of course, we see God punishing them. So just to repeat, human work is important to God because our work reflects God's image upon us and brings glory to God. Our work becomes exploitative. Our work becomes idolatrous. But yet, God wants our work to bring worship to God. God wants our worship. God wants our work to serve God and not the world. God is longing to reclaim Avad by defeating Pharaoh and his armies. That is the theme throughout the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will avad God on this mountain. You're no longer serving Pharaoh, you are serving me. Exodus 8, verse 1. By the way, I just picked a couple of verses. You go through, like I said, I did the ChatGPT exercise. I can't believe how many times avad shows up in God's language, in God speaking to Moses, and Moses speaking to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, that they may avad me. Exodus 9:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go so that they may avad me. We have to ensure that our avad, our service, our work, our allegiance, our worship is to God, not to this world, not to Pharaoh, not to Satan. Colossians, I mentioned this earlier, Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether in deed or in word, word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3, later in the chapter, verses 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. He's not talking about church ministry here. He's speaking to people in their everyday vocations. This is true of parenting. It's true of us cleaning the house. Okay, it's true of everything we do, all human work. Work as unto the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Again, Paul here is talking about everyday work. He was not talking about preaching, about evangelism. Some of you may know the name William Perkins. He was a theologian who taught at the University of Cambridge in the 1500s, a Puritan. He said, the main end of our lives is to serve God. I think avad when I think that, in the serving of men, avad, in the works of our calling, avad. The main end of our lives is to serve God in the serving of men, in the works of our calling. Imagine if every single person here, every single Christian in Massachusetts was a pastor. Not much will get done. There wouldn't be anybody to bake bread. There would not be anybody to clean the streets, to build the highways. There wouldn't be the whole biotech industry that's thriving in Boston, finding cures for cancer, all the oncology drugs that are coming out, mental disease treatments, central nervous system. God uses human means. God has not called all of us to sit in a church and preach. God has called some of us to do that. God has called some of us to go to places like Africa, India, South America, and preach the gospel. But God has called many of us into places of everyday work, to be a light, to show God's image to the world through our work. So again, as I conclude my thoughts, I also want to say that not all of us are able to just get up and start a Christian investment firm or a Christian business, but we are able to bring God's image to our places of work. We are able to bring God's commandments to the places of our work. Don't stay silent when you see injustice happening around you. Somebody asked me recently, Robin, if you didn't have Eventide, and would you be comfortable working at Fidelity or BlackRock? Actually, somebody asked me this yesterday. I was doing a talk. I said, of course I would. But I could not be allocating dollars to tobacco and pornography and abortion. As a Christian, I would still have to reflect God's heart, God's image in my work. It's not that I cannot be in those places, but I have to bring my God image inside of me into my work. So as Christians, let's ensure that the products and services that we're promoting in the world are promoting human flourishing, the common good, the love of neighbor, that ultimately God's heart is being represented in our work. Let our work reflect God's goodness and beauty. Thank you.